Pastor James Monahan would like to welcome you to another life-changing message from City Life Church in Johannesburg, South Africa. City Life Church is committed to a vision that reaches people, raises leaders, and releases ministry.
Panicking in the office, so if they have kind of a strained look on their face, you'll know why. If some of the graphics don't look a little different this morning, you'll know why. But hallelujah. God's not dependent upon technology, amen? Isn't that great? Isn't that great? I'll tell you what. We have become such a dependent people on some things. They take them so much for granted. I remember many years ago when everybody was scared about Y2K. Does anybody remember that? They call it now the biggest non-event in history. But nonetheless, people were all scared about this. And even as pastors, we were going around to different pastors' conferences. We were talking about the probable or possible effects of this. I mean, it was everything from the world's going to come to an end as we know it to, you know. So we made a little, probably more of a splash about it than we probably should have, because we didn't want to be on the wrong end of it. You know, if something did happen, they'd say, well, why didn't you warn us? You know, so on the one hand, we probably took the more conservative approach and kind of warned people. And we had a group of pastors meeting one time, and this one pastor was there from Nigeria. And he says, well, I'm not really too concerned about Y2K. He says, when I go to the bank and put in my money, the guy takes out his little book and writes it down, you know, and don't have to worry about my refrigerator not working. I don't have one, you know. And sometimes our technology is our worst enemy. But anyway, God's going to help us and going to see some real productivity there. You be praying that we can get all of our information back so we don't stand up here like we don't know anything. I mean, our computers know more than we do now. So they drive us, they run us, and we can't hardly live without them. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about an area that I think will help us. Last week we talked about xenophobia, and there's a lot of things that happen in society that we as Christians have got to either be an answer for, or we've got to kind of swim against the current of these things. Even talking about technology here today, there are a lot of things that is good about technology, but there's some things that are kind of bad about technology. Peter, when he got up on the day of Pentecost, he said, I want you to save yourself from this twisted or perverted generation. And what he meant by that is sometimes in our time that we live, we have to sort of swim against the current of what society is doing if we are really going to fulfill our destiny and our purpose in God. Sometimes things happen in society by virtue of what we're talking about, xenophobia last week, but sometimes things happen just because of progress and just because of the nature of the nation in which we live. One of the things that we have talked about here a lot, one of the original reasons why we even put the gap, closed the gap between the two buildings and put in that lobby was we sense in our society today there's a growing isolation between people. And they're growing further and further and further apart. People are kind of withdrawing more and more into their own shell. And through technology, of course, we don't hardly need to depend on anyone anymore because, well, we have our computers, we have our video games, we have this and we have that. And actually, people can go on in their life just having relationship with people for the bare necessities of the fact that I got to go out once in a while and get some groceries and I got to go do this once in a while. And so therefore, people are kind of a necessary evil in my life and I've got to relate to them once in a while so I can go back into my little cave and play my games and watch my videos and do these kinds of things. And if we aren't careful, we begin to live our life as kind of like an island. And yet we know the phrase, no man is an island to himself, but we're doing our level best to try to be one sometimes. I want to talk to us this morning about cultivating friendships, because I really believe that they are part of the rich things of life, and they are something that God wants us at City Life Church to be cultivating. He wants us to be a church that has a culture that is very much relational, very much involved in each other's lives, very much different maybe than society. I think here in South Africa we face even a more of a challenge. I know in the U.S., Where I come from, it's very common now for people to go up to somebody and ask them, well, who are your best friends? And after a while, people look at you and say, well, I don't have any best friends. I don't have any close friends. Most of our life is consumed with acquaintances and casual relationships, and we really don't have any deep friendships. When we will look at this in the Bible here in a few minutes, we're going to realize that when we don't have close friendships, we don't have intimate friendships, we're missing out on some of the very best things in life and some of the most productive things in our life. And so it's true in America. It's true here in South Africa. I think it's not true in every country. I think there are some countries I go to, man, they are so relational orientated. I mean, it's just they're so connected. But I think some of the history of South Africa, some of the violence in South Africa has caused people to kind of become suspicious, kind of question relationships, kind of hide out a little bit and protect themselves behind their electric fences and their walls. I got them, too. And I like to turn those things on at night. I like to make sure I'm a little safe and cozy. I get behind my bars at night and I lock myself in and I think I'm in jail sometimes when I wake up. But nope, I'm just in my own house. But I know we kind of live that way sometimes, and that can affect more than just, you know, our physical posture when it comes to protecting ourselves against crime. We can actually sort of live in isolation from others. And I believe that God wants us here at City Life Church to be a church that kind of swims against that current, and we begin to develop a much fuller and much richer and much deeper relationships with each other. Sometimes you actually talk to people after a while and they just have to tell you, well, I don't even know if I know how to do this. Sometimes we live in a culture long enough and we don't have anybody teaching us. We don't have anybody modeling this for us. And so sometimes we don't really enter into the fullness of what God wants for us. I'm going to start this morning just by talking about what a friend is. There's a lot of different people who have tried to define what it is to be a friend. A friend is someone with whom you dare to be yourself. That was the quote by Raymond Barrand, that you dare to be yourself. You know, so often in life we are just kind of putting on the face that we need to put on in the correct setting that we need to put it on. It's almost like Halloween every day. You know, we can put on our little mask and we can walk around, and I got my mask for work and I got my mask for church and I got my mask for this kind of thing. And I know you're saying, I wish you would have worn your mask today. No, I'm saying. But so often we just kind of go around in these areas of life and we sort of do the expected and so forth. And we don't really have that many relationships apart from maybe a spouse or maybe a natural brother or sister where we can kind of really let down a bit and just kind of be ourselves and be who we are. Not saying that we are putting on airs or that we're being hypocritical or that we're being plastic, but that's just kind of the way people are. They go into various settings and they're this and they're going to another setting and they're that, but who are you really? Well, that's the person that you can be when you are around a true friend. Another definition of a friend is someone who understands your past, believes in your future, and accepts you today just the way you are. I don't even know who said that, but it was a good quote. It wasn't from me. It's an unknown quote. It's an anonymous quote. That guy did a lot of work. And but that whole thought there of someone who understands your past. Sometimes we have to hide our past or we're embarrassed about our past from some. Believes in your future. Having people that really believe in you, that believe that you can do something with your life and make a difference. But in the meantime, accepts you just the way you are today. Wow. A third definition is a friend is one who knows all about you and likes you just the same. Yeah, that's my wife. She knows everything about me. I think she still likes me just the same. I do have to buy her a new coat once in a while. Hallelujah. I just sprung for some big bucks this week, and she's looking beautiful. And so she loves me really a lot today. And next week we'll see what it takes to get her to love me. But she told me it cost me so much this morning to make her look good. You're just that much poorer. No, I'm just that much richer. Hallelujah. And but it's someone who knows you, knows everything about you, likes you. Fourth definition here is a friend is a person with whom you may think out loud. You know, some people you just can't really express what you're thinking on the inside because they would be appalled that you would think such thoughts. But sometimes with a friend, you can actually say what you're thinking. You know, we do have thoughts at times, and they aren't necessarily refined. They aren't really necessarily all thought through. And sometimes you can just kind of think out loud with a friend, where in other settings you can't really do that. Another definition is a real friend is one who warms you by his presence, trusts you with his secret, and remembers you in his prayers. And I believe God wants us, everyone in this room, everyone in this church, to have relationships in their life that are much deeper than just casual acquaintances that we all have by virtue of the fact that we have to live on this planet. Actually, there are different levels of relationship. And I think sometimes we think we have friends, but really we're just operating on a very, very surface level. The first level of relationships is really an acquaintance. An acquaintance is somebody that you might even know their name. You see him occasionally, you wave at him in the gap, and I know here in our church, you know, sometimes names can be a problem because there's such a blending of cultures that names are different in different cultures. Sometimes people come up to me from the Afrikaans culture, and of course they'll say, well, you know, they'll give me their name, and I'm struggling a little bit even to hear it right. And then they'll say, well, the English equivalent is, and so I end up calling them Jerry or Fred or something like that instead of what they're used to being called. I'm struggling a little bit. Or maybe they come from a Zulu background or another background, and maybe instead of having one syllable in their name like Bill, it's like a whole sentence, you know. And when I was in Nigeria, I remember having to pass out certificates to these pastors who had gone through this particular course, and there was like 70 of them. And I told the Nigerian pastor that was hosting the conference, I said, you're going to have to pronounce these names for me. You're going to have to read these names off because I don't know if I can really do it. I mean, I'm going to slay every one of those names. He says, well, I can't do it any better than you can. And I've lived here all my life. Not only that, the people want you to say them. Oh, did they have fun? I mean, some of those names like got three or four consonants before you get to a vowel. You know, how do you do that? You know, it's just like, wow. We got to have nicknames, you know. We got to have something a little bit shorter, like one syllable, like Bill, you know. So sometimes we have these acquaintances. We may know their name or just barely know their name, but it's a very surface relationship. We see each other on Sundays. We see each other in the gap. And yes, I remember that I have seen you before and so forth. And then there's another level called casual friends, where it's just a little bit deeper. We see each other maybe at regular intervals. We run into each other maybe in the same grocery store while we're shopping, or maybe in the bank, teller that we go to, or somebody that we see at regular intervals. Usually it's not something that's planned on our part. It's just more or less accidental, but we see them more than we see some other people, and so we see them as a casual friend. But you may know very, very little about that person in reality. You know what color their hair is. You know what they're wearing today. You know that they like to talk about the weather. You know that. You might not know if they have any children, whether they're married, or you don't really know them in any depth, but you don't like to chat on a surface level with them. They're pleasant, and you like that, and they're trying to be nice to you because you're their customer. No. But oftentimes these relationships, they're not there for you when you really need them. And then a third level of relationship is a close friend. A close friend goes much deeper than that. It's somebody that you share common goals with. You cooperate, function with on mutual projects. You have regular personal conversations with them relative to family and these kinds of issues, values, beliefs, and these types of things. A close friend is someone that you trust and toward whom you feel a strong sense of personal commitment. And so, you know, in these friendship relationships, I believe God wants us to have friendships on all levels. Yes, we need to have acquaintances. Yes, we need to have casual friends. It's just the way we function in society. But I think God wants us to move deeper in relationship because of what He wants to do through many of these things in our life. So we need to move from acquaintances to casual friends to close friends. And then the last level of friendship is what we could call intimate friends. An intimate friend is reserved only for the very closest of friends. Sometimes we use the term, this person is my best friend. And I've had some people use that term, best friend, on me a few times. I'm thinking, whoa, I barely know this person. If I'm your best friend, you're in trouble, because if this is as close as you have ever gotten to anybody, then I feel for you, because I see our relationship as more casual. I see our relationship as maybe bordering on close, but certainly not intimate, and certainly not the best friend. If I am the best friend that you have, I'm not saying I don't have best friends. I'm not saying people can't get close to me. I'm not saying I'm standoffish. I'm just saying some people's perception of the level of their friendship is really completely different from reality. And what happens in a mutual or a intimate friend relationship, it's got to be something that's more or less mutual, mutual commitment to each other, that in spite of what weaknesses might be there, there is kind of a commitment to each other that we are going to be friends for life, kind of a thing. And that's the kind of relationship that David and Jonathan seem to have. I know sometimes people look at the Bible, they look at David and Jonathan and say, aha, here's a relationship that's probably not exactly, No. It's possible for men to have wonderful relationships with men, and women to have wonderful relationships with women that are on this level of just basically an intimate friend that they can go to. And, of course, our society tends to put sexual connotations onto everything. I'm telling you, you can have strong, great relationships without the introduction of the issue of sex. Amen? And so it says here about David and Jonathan in 1 Samuel chapter 18, 1-4. Now, when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. The soul speaks of mind, will, and emotions. I mean, there was a compatibility that they had, and they were just knit together in the spirit. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off his robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even his sword and his bow and his belt. They just had such a kindred spirit and a kindred relationship, and they had made a covenant commitment to each other. Well, what is the purpose of friendship anyway? You know, sometimes before we can really make something a priority in our life, we have to see the value or we have to see the purpose of it. I think one of the best scriptures to talk about this is Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 12, where it says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Again, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how will one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. We were just talking about this whole subject in the area of counseling, the counseling class on Saturday. We're talking about some of the foundations for counseling, and we began to realize that a lot of people go to counseling and go to counselors and depend a lot upon them because they don't have a lot of input from friendships in their life. You know, I believe as a covenant community and as a Christian community, a lot of the help that people will get in terms of emotional needs and other things are going to come from their association relationship with other members of the body of Christ, and they're not going to need a lot of pastoral input because they got friends that are around them speaking into their life and so forth. They don't have to have an organized church program to kind of make things work for them. They have made friendship and relationships a priority. This verse teaches that a person who has friends has someone to share in his or her labor. Now, I know a lot of times if you're married, your spouse becomes a great part of this. But you know, if your spouse is the only person in your life that you can function at that level with, that puts a lot of pressure on your spouse. Puts a lot of pressure on your spouse to be all things to you. Everything you need's got to come from that relationship. It can actually smother a relationship when there is not some other kind of relationship going on in your life. Second thing this verse tells us is a person who has friends has someone to lift them up when they fall. You know, if you have an intimate friend, they're going to kind of know what's going on in your life. Sometimes here in this church, I know we have people who are maybe in hospital or whatever they might be, and we don't even know about it. We don't even find out about it. They didn't wonder why somebody didn't come to visit them. Well, we didn't know. Nobody called the church. We aren't psychic. We don't have ESP. Oh, the Lord tells me Somebody's not feeling well today. Yes, but who? That's the question. Well, we don't get up every morning that way and say, I wonder who's in the hospital. Or notify all the hospitals. Let us know if anybody checks in that looks really happy because they go to City Life Church, look well adjusted. Let us know. Well, you know, when you have intimate friends, they kind of know what's going on in your life automatically. And sometimes as pastors, we need help because we don't know everybody on an intimate level. We would want to be involved in everybody's situation. But people who have close friends in their life, they have a great support system around them already. This verse tells us that a person who has friends has someone to bring warmth into his or her life. And, you know, relationships really do, they really are the heart and soul of living. And number four, another thing that this verse tells us is that a person who has friends has someone to help him or her overcome obstacles. Who's the first person that you go to when you need a shoulder to cry on? Who's the first person you go to when you're having trouble in your business or whatever? Usually it's going to be in a circle of friends that you have. And of course, if we don't have anything more than acquaintances or anything more than casual friends, we really have no one. And it's kind of like we're living our life alone and we're frustrated in that. And you might be frustrated already by this message. You might be saying, I'm not sure if I do have any friends. And I think it will be different because we have so many people from so many different ethnic backgrounds. But, you know, Joburg is really comprised of people who have come here. I'm getting to see that more and more. And when I talk to people, how long have you been in Joburg? There's not a whole lot of people who have been here for any really length of time, including myself. And so there's always people coming and going and coming and going, and we're moving to Durban, then we move back, and then we go here, and then we go there, and we're overseas, and then we're back. And so everybody's kind of just coming and going. And so it's very easy to sort of live in a very superficial relationship with the people that are around us. Well, the Bible talks a lot about friendship and some of the characteristics of good friendship. I think we're ready for that now. Hallelujah. Characteristics of good friendship. Here are some of the characteristics of friendship. Number one, a true friend stands with you in times of trouble. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I'll tell you what, when you have close friends, they really shine when you're going through adversity. You also really find out who your friends are when you're going through adversity. It's like you're going through adversity and you can't find anybody. You got no friends. And sometimes people sort of seem to forsake you, but really you have to ask yourself, did we really have that relationship in the first place? The time to get friends is not when adversity happens. It's like preparing for adversity by making sure that we have close relationships around us. One translation says it this way, he that is a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is proved in distress. The second thing about friends, the characteristic of friends, is a true friend will tell you what you need to hear. Will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. You know, there's a difference. So often in our relationships, you know, we kind of cater to people's wants. We know what our boss wants to hear when he says, how's everything going? We know he doesn't want to have the long version. He wants to have the very short version, like, fine. I'm fine. Everything's wonderful. If you really answered that question, or you say to your boy, what do you think about that tie? Did you buy it or did somebody give it to you? If you picked it out, don't do that anymore. Talk to your wife. She'll help you. That's what you're thinking. But what you're saying is, great. Looks fine. It's fine. So often we live that way. And yet, I think God wants us to be able to get to relationships where we can be truthful. We can be blatantly honest. Yes, with a mixture of kindness in there. But sometimes a true friend will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. In Proverbs 27:5-6, it says, an open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wounds from a friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. A third characteristic of friendship, a true friend will clash with you at times for your personal improvement. A lot of people don't like confrontation. I don't like confrontation. Nobody likes confrontation. But, you know, a friend will actually confront you when you're going to do something that hurts yourself, going to hurt yourself. You won't stand in front of too many people and be a roadblock to them from doing something that will. But if they're a genuine friend and you really genuinely love them, you will get involved in their situation. Sometimes you have to say to somebody, you know, I love you too much to let you do that. Do you have people in your life that will do that, or will they just let you run off the cliff? Or are there people who will lay their life down for you in a sense and actually even become almost an antagonistic enemy towards you just for your own good at that point in time? They're going to stand for, I don't think you should do that. I don't think you should make that investment. I don't think you should take that job. I don't think you should move there. I don't think. There aren't a lot of people in our life that know us well enough, that we know well enough, that we could even receive comments like that from. But I think it's valuable to have people like that, even if they're wrong. Fourth characteristic of a true friend is loyal at all times. I didn't read the scripture on the last one. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Scripture here, Proverbs 11:13. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Not that we're keeping secrets like this guy killed somebody and I'm keeping that a secret. No. It's just that sometimes you tell people things in confidence and you just don't want anybody else to share because maybe you're thinking out loud. Maybe you're just exploring some possibilities and you don't want everybody else to know about it. You just want some feedback. You want to hear how they might respond to that. There are friends who can destroy each other. In Proverbs 28, verse 24, it talks about there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. So a friend is loyal at all times. Number five, a true friendship can be destroyed by slander, whispering, and not keeping confidences. Proverbs 16:28, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Proverbs 17:9, he who covers transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Seems to me that sometimes it might take a long time to build a strong, loyal, committed relationship with a friend, and you can tear it down pretty quickly. Lots of times negative action on our part can tear something down that took years to build. Well, let's talk about how to do friendships, how friendships happen. As I said before, casual relationships, acquaintances, they just sort of happen as we do life. But when you get deeper, when you get into casual close relationships or intimate relationships, they take a little bit more strategy on our part. They aren't going to just happen. Let's just talk about how do friendships happen. Number one, friendships have to be desired. If you don't want it, it ain't going to happen. That's so true of so many other things in life. What do you really want? If you want something bad enough, you will go out and you will work it. But sometimes you don't understand the need and how desperately you need something. First of all, you have to desire it. You're never going to have close friends unless you desire it. And you can only be a close friend to those who desire to have it with you. It's kind of a mutual thing. Sometimes, you know, we see people and we say, well, I really want them to be my friend. Well, that's the person that everybody wants for their friend. You're going to have to choose somebody else. Their life is already too full. Not only that, they might not like you. You ever think of that? I mean, it's kind of like, you know, trying to find a wife, you know. You got to do a little exploring from time to time and find out who's going to be compatible with you and who's not. I mean, when a girl slams a door in your face, you got to get a clue, man. She ain't interested in the same thing you're interested in. Well, sometimes it's true that way, too. You come to a church, and I know many of you come without a relationship to people in this church. When we look at how people have come to this church, they've come off the sign, they've come off a flyer, they've come here. Yes, some have come by personal invitation, but that's really the minority. And so that means that you don't automatically have friends right now, right here and now in this church. And so you might meet somebody in the gap or here or there, and I'm going to pursue a relationship with that person. That person just... Every time you walk up, they turn around. Now, first thing, check your breath. You know, that's the first thing always. One of the rules of life is if somebody offers you a breath mint, always take it. Because they may know something that you don't know. Okay? But if it's not clicking, if it's not happening, don't try to force something that isn't there. Because I believe there will be a mutualness. That doesn't mean that occasionally God does. I had a best friend in college when I was there. And when I first met this guy, I hated him. I don't know why I hated him. I didn't like the way he walked. I didn't like the way he talked. I didn't like, you know, his looks. You know, I didn't like this and that about him. And I had kind of a disposition. I don't know why. I never really talked to him. I just, from a distance, I had made a judgment. I hate that guy. He'd make comments. I hate that guy. I wish he wouldn't talk in class. Well, before I was through with that term, he was my best friend, and throughout our university, that's the way we were. And it's just, you know, sometimes you can't always go on first impressions. That's the way my wife was with me. She hated me at first. I had to break her down, you know, but first time I asked her to marry me, she said, no, I don't think it would work. And we're still trying to figure out if it's working. I think it's working. No, it's working. But you can't force yourself on somebody who doesn't want you as a friend. Deep friendships have to be equal and mutual. Number two, friendships must be pursued. It's something that you have to actually run after or go after. They don't just happen. You just can't wait for them to happen necessarily, and they sort of jump on you. Casual friendships happen by chance. Deep friendships require regular contact. You have to take initiative. You can't wait till the other person to make the first move. Just looking good and hoping somebody will come up to you and initiate some contact with you. It's kind of like everybody's sort of waiting. Well, we're waiting. I'm waiting for people to come up to me. And you're waiting for people to come up to you. And we're just sort of kind of, okay, who's going to make the first move? Well, I'll tell you who will make the first move. The person who is motivated the most will make the first move. But I think we do have to move off center a little bit and begin to test the water and kind of move out from our comfort zone a little bit. Number three, friendships have to be built. That means that we have to invest something in them and put the kinds of thing in them that will contribute to their success. And there's a certain amount of work involved in relationships. But I think we can take advantage of a lot of things like common interests, hobbies, exercise regimen, activities. Some people like to cycle. Well, they might find somebody in the church likes to do that, and they end up hanging out quite a lot together because they like to do the same thing. And before you know it, they've developed a deeper and deeper and deeper friendship. Some of my best friends over the years were people that I played racquetball with, and so we'd have to find two or three times a week we could go out and knock the ball around and put the name of somebody on the ball. Wham! Take that, you. And so you get close to people when you see them often. Number four, friendships take time to build. They don't just automatically go to the deepest level, but we move gradually through the various stages. Not all friendships will reach the intimate level of friendship. Some will just go to close friends. Before friendships can reach that level, both parties have to feel kind of the same way about the situation. Number five, friendships will be tested. How many know that? Some of you have had friends and you don't have them anymore because of the test. It didn't stand the test of the relationship. And sometimes it might have been your fault. Sometimes it might have been their fault. Sometimes it might have been nobody's fault. But they're strained, or they're not what they used to be. And maybe there's even a desire to see that maybe fixed or restored. But the truth of the matter is, people are still people. And no matter how close you ever get to them, they will disappoint you. I know when my wife married me, she thought she was getting the perfect husband. And when I married her, I thought I was getting the perfect wife. But you know what? We found out over 36, 37, whatever, 8, 9 years of marriage, whatever it is, getting close to 39 years of marriage, that once in a while we disappoint. Now, does that mean we write it off? No, we work it through. But the truth of the matter is, if you have to have perfection in relationship, you will never have a friend except Jesus. Because he's the only perfect one. And then you can sing your song, Me and Jesus, He's All I Need. Jesus is All I Need. Well, the truth of the matter is the Bible doesn't teach that Jesus is all we need. We need Jesus and we need His body because His body is the church. We need each other if we are going to fulfill our destiny. The sixth thing about friendship is that it must be maintained, just like everything else. I know this is not an issue in South Africa. Nothing ever needs to be maintained. Nothing ever breaks, right? Nothing ever breaks. I mean, you can't even get something built before it breaks. That's a problem. Well, we can't take relationships for granted. We have to continually be investing and making sure about those things. But ultimately, number seven, friendships are to be enjoyed. Now, in your bulletin today, we included some points. How can I be a friend? And the reason why they're in there today, in the insert, is that in order to have friends, you have to be a friend. I think we all know that. Whoever wants to have friends, the Bible says, must show himself friendly. But sometimes, again, because of our training, because of our upbringing, we might have actually been brought up in a home where nobody really had any really true friends. And so we don't have a model. We don't have an example. We don't maybe have teaching on some of these things. And so here at the church, we're trying to say, okay, here's some things we can do. Here's some things we can learn. Here's how I can be a friend. And I'm going to go through these just so quickly that your head will spin. Okay? So get ready. You might put two hands on either side of your face so your head doesn't spin. But being a friend means acknowledging the person as your friend. You speak friendship language. You talk about them as being your friend. Number two, attending to the person's physical and emotional needs. When a friend goes through difficulty, well, you're right there. You're talking to them. You're helping them. You're praying with them. Number three, providing a listening ear when the person wants to vent. Sometimes people just need to vent. It's over. It's done. Okay, let's just forget about it. Act like it never happened. But sometimes people need to just express themselves without any filter. And I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying sometimes we need that. You can only hit a pillar so long, you know, before you want to hit somebody. No. Number four, putting up with the person when they are moody. I know none of us here at City Life Church are ever moody. We're moody, but we're always in a good moody, you know. Number five, being cautious in criticism, willing to overlook some of the person's imperfections. Number six, encouraging the person when they are down. Number seven, being ready to assist the person financially when they go through difficulties. Providing a shoulder for the person to cry on. Praising them for the person's positive actions and accomplishments. Rejoicing with the person's success and their new car. Ouch. Praying for the person when they need it. Helping them solve the problems in their life. Surprising the person with thoughtful gifts and remembrances. Staying true to the person when they disappoint you. Giving the person the benefit of the doubt when unexpected things come up and things do not work out as planned. And then 16, I like this, relaxing, slipping off your shoes, loosening your tie. I don't have one today. Kicking back on the couch and just hanging out with the person. You know, that whole list, 16 of them, can be applied to marriage. If you want to do a marriage checkup, this is the kind of relationship God wants us to have as spouses. But He also wants us to have relationships outside of our marriage that also are along this line, primarily men with men and women with women. You understand that? But sometimes it's couples to couples and other things like that. And I think we need to be thinking that way. Now, the last point here is this. Do all friendships last forever? And maybe some of you have been disappointed by friendships in the past. And the answer to that question is no. Friendships do not always last forever. In a perfect world, all relationships would last forever. But some of the friends that you have, you will not have for life. In other cases, they may have a shorter lifespan. Sometimes they're long. Maybe you will have them for a lifetime. I think there are people that will have those kind of relationships. But sometimes they're going to be much shorter. Because of things do change. Things don't always remain the same. Sometimes they change because of conflict. That's the kind that God doesn't want. Sometimes the relationship changed because we got into a little bit of conflict and then we didn't really work it through. You know, maybe you're here today and you've had a very close friend in the past and you're not a close friend with them today. They did something, they said something, you did something, you said something, and you're at odds. I believe that In God, we have the power to heal some of those relationships, and God wants us to. Maybe some, they just have to be let go. But I think in most cases, God wants us to least deal with the issues that broke that thing up. Sometimes relationships change due to the change of life's season or situation. When you're single, most of your friends are single. When you get married, sometimes your single friends sort of drop off because it isn't necessarily as appropriate anymore. And so unless you actually purposely go after some young couples in your same situation, you're going to end up being kind of friendless. You're going to have each other and that'll be it. Sometimes when you have children, it changes situations. I mean, young married couples who don't have children don't like to be around young married couples who do. Because a baby gets all the attention. Oh, baby, baby this and baby that. Come on, let's get out of here. Well, that's not always true, but I mean, it does. It is a reality of life that sometimes does affect friendships. Sometimes relocation can affect friendships. You know, when I came here to South Africa 2.5 years ago, we had some friends, believe it or not, in America. Well, most of those relationships have changed dramatically. Oh, yeah, we email back and forth a little bit, but it isn't quite the same as it used to be. I'm still looking for somebody to go to auto shows with me and classic car displays and so forth. I haven't found that person just yet. You might be out there. We could be a very good friend one day, especially if you got lots of money. No. But sometimes relocation makes a difference. Somebody moves away and it's just hard to maintain the same level of relationship. Sometimes there's a spiritual shift. That is, one person moves on and the other person doesn't, or one person backslides and the other person doesn't. I'm not going to backslide with you just so that you can stay my friend. I hope that when I start drawing closer to the Lord, you'll come along with me, but you know, sometimes it doesn't happen that way. And sometimes because our values change, our spiritual motivations change, our hunger for the Lord changes, we sort of kind of walk out of that relationship because the other person doesn't want to go that direction. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And so sometimes things happen in life that change that. Sometimes relationships change due to other factors. Maybe there was a breach of trust. A good friend maybe let you down and had a careless conversation. They said something. And every time we think about that person, we think about what they said. Well, maybe God wants you to forgive that, let it go, because what you lost might be more significant than that particular issue. Yes, it hurt your pride. Yes. And they would tell you today, I shouldn't have said it. I know I shouldn't have said it. It was wrong. But you've never really been able to deal with that. Or maybe sometimes things change relationship because of clinging jealousy. That is, you get a friend and they're just jealous. You can't have any other friend if you have them as their friend. And that becomes too restrictive for you, and you finally have to make a choice and say, well, if that's the way you're going to live and be, and I'm the only true friend that you can have, and I can't have friendships with other people without you getting jealous, then maybe we can't be friends. Or maybe a smothering relationship where they're just, I mean, if they want to be with you every single minute of every single day, well, that also can have its problems and can affect a relationship. But I do believe that good friends are worth fighting for because they're the things that make right life rich and full. Now, I know this has been kind of a teachy message this morning, but I really believe it's hitting a vein that we really need to hear. I really believe that, you know, when we do our partnership interviews, we ask questions in that interview, and one of them is, who are your best friends, or who are your friends in this church? And some people just leave it blank. They don't really have any. I think we need to change that. I think we can change that. I don't think you can just kind of look to the leadership team of the church to be the friend of everybody in the church on an intimate level. Yes, we want to be everybody's friend on an acquaintance, casual, and even close level, but you know, there's only so many that you can have. Even Jesus had 12, and then he had 3, and then he had 1 intimate friend, 3 close friends, and maybe all 12 of the disciples were close friends, but there's a time limitation. And I think we need to be realistic about that. We need to be honest with that. And I think what God wants is this church to cross over ethnic lines, open yourself to some new ideas about friendship. See if God won't use some of that. Open ourselves to the people that are here. I think it's great that you have friends in other places, but I think it'd be great for you to have friends right here in City Life Church. To begin to make it more of a priority and even begin to pray about that. Say, God, direct me to someone or some people. And you might not find them right away, but we're on the hunt. We're on the look. We're exploring the possibility of, and then begin to become a friend yourself. And as you do, I believe that God will place many rich relationships in your life and you will not feel lonely. You know, loneliness is one of the number one causes for suicide. It's also one of the number one issues that people will express when they talk about issues of their life. I'm lonely. Doesn't have to be that way, especially in the body of Christ. Hey, we want to be friends with each other. Can you say amen? Let's stand this morning and ask God to help.
Thank you for listening to another life-changing message from City Life Church. If you'd like more information, please visit our website at www.citylifechurch.co.za.